This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There were a lot of things he talked about, and Clint, one of the things I know that jumped out to you was his thoughts about Joe Mixon and specifically his touches and the workload. This was Nick Caserio discussing what happens and how many carries and touches Joe Mixon's getting.
Joe's been, I mean, knock on wood, for the most part, he's been a very, he missed a few games here during the year, a very durable and productive player. So we'll do what we think is best. I mean, we've had opportunities. We've had to use some different backs. We had to use Cam there a little bit when he was on a team and gave us some plays. DP's given us some plays. J.J. Taylor's given us some plays when he's had to go on a field. So we'll just figure out. Dare as well made some critical plays. So we'll use everybody, but Joe's one of our best players. So anytime that we can get the ball in his hands is usually a lot of positives that come with that. But love everything about Joe Mixon, love everything that he's brought to the football team, have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for him, having played against him and now being on the same side as him. I mean, it's been really impressive.
All right. As he talked there, he didn't seem to be concerned about the workload and how many touches that Joe Mixon is getting. And obviously he has missed some games, right? We've seen him injured. When you go back to training camp, a couple of times he's had to miss some significant time.
That weak-ass hip drop tackle.
Yeah, that hip drop tackle got him for about two or three games. But if you take away the game when he returned against the Patriots, where I think he had 14 touches, he's been getting the ball. He's been around 25-plus touches a game throughout. And to a point you made yesterday, hell, they didn't even feel comfortable only giving another running back one carry against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
What's the concern level from you, the people you can join in and give your thoughts as well on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line? What's your concern with Joe Mixon's workload?
Well, it's high. It's high, and I'm really concerned. And it's multiple reasons here. One, if you just look at Joe Mixon's workload, we can't minimize this. I understand what Nick's doing, but you can't minimize this, right? And he's the only guy, only running back in the top 15 running backs in terms of production, in terms of number of carries. He's the only running back on the list of top 15 that doesn't have 10 or 11 games that he's played in. He's only played in 8 games.
Bully ball, what?
He's from a carry perspective, he's in the company with guys that have played in 10 or 11 games, right? Jonathan Taylor is the closest running back to him, which I think he's like 16 or 17 in carries with 150 carries, in eight games. So the same number of games, which, by the way, the eight games for Joe Mixon is including the game against, who was it, the Bears?
There's where he got injured.
Where he got injured. So he missed, I think, a half of that at very least, if not three quarters, of the football. He went out before halftime in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, he tried to come back a couple times
right.
in the second half, but
when
not
they taped
much.
It up. Yeah.
Not much.
So that's including that. So the whether you look, there's several ways you can look at it. Just look at the sheer number of carries and the company that he's keeping. Literally, the guys that are in the same range or have a few more have played 10 or 11 games versus 8 games. And so clearly the load is big time, second to nobody in the league on Joe Mixon. Okay, now you fast forward and just look at the Sunday game day action, what the tape tells you. Two things. One, he's the best thing that this offense does, the most reliable thing that this offense does, so you're going to have a hard time getting away from him. And number two, he runs as physical as anybody in the league, right? He runs more physical than Saquon Barkley. I'm not taking anything from Saquon Barkley, but Saquon's got a little bit more shake to him, a little bit more outrun you to him, where Mixon is interested in running downhill. And then I'll say that Derrick Henry is a guy that's just built a little bit different, and even if he does have the same run style, it doesn't take near the punishment because of how big he is. So you look at the tape and you say, okay, well, Joe's got to we got to work something here out with Joe. And then the third layer of this, Ron, is you look at the backup running back role. In a game last week where you were up three scores in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, you're out there running Joe Mixon, and I believe it was not because you needed Joe Mixon. I don't believe you trusted Damian Pierce to go out there and just execute the run game. And so, it's all these different layers that lead you to believe that not only has the workload been through the roof, but also there's really no alternative. What do you do offensively if you take him out of the game at the running back position? What do you do offensively if you take him out of the game in terms of producing offense? And I'm not minimizing or downplaying CJ and Nico and all these guys, but clearly the best thing this offense does is Joe Mixon. And so it's got to be on the front of mind of D'Amico, of Nick, of Bobby Slowick, of everybody involved, of we got to keep him rolling now.
Bad MF-er.
Yes, he is. I believe he can handle it. But at some point, we've got to get somebody in there that we believe with a three-score game in the fourth quarter, if and when that happens, we got to say, hey, Joe, you take the fourth quarter off, partner. We got somebody else that'll go in here and take this beating. Well, at the very least, you got to find that right there, man.
It's a big deal just because the way that it seems like you're built right now to beat, and your best chance to beat the top teams is your defense and run game, and playing off of the run game and defense.
Yes,
and it's not just the run game, which is clear this year. It is the Joe Mixon run game, because it does not appear that anybody else can have the traction that Joe Mixon has in the run game. So
yeah.
It is specifically the Joe Mixon run game and the defense. And if you don't have Joe Mixon there, clearly the offense looks different and the run game looks different without him. So he has to be there for the Texans. So that is something. And I've said this a lot, Clint. These guys are professional liars. I think they understand that, and I think they know that, and I think they know that Joe has been injured multiple times. As Nick was saying there, knock on wood, he's been durable. Well, he's missed three games. He's missed 2.5 games. So you know that's there. You know his age at 28. So it's got to be something they're looking at. And I, as you said, if it's not Damian Pierce, somebody has got to come through at least an option for him to go.
I'm at a spot where we're always talking about, hey, man, like, what guy have we not seen that gets you excited, that you'd like to see more of, especially in this run where you got Tennessee and Jacksonville, teams that you could very well have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes and you just need some. Like, I'm at a point where I want to see J.J. Taylor.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a different shake there. I don't know that he's going to be your number two back. I don't know that he's big enough, to be honest with you, and has the play style in this offense to complement Joe Mixon as a long-term answer. Like, I'm say long-term, three or four-year answer as a backup. I do believe that if he gets some experience, he could very easily be a third down back. He's shifty. He can move. He can do some things explosive. I would like to see him in that backup role. I've seen enough that I believe he could be a guy that could be a game changer, and I want to see a little bit more and see if he could be a potential answer there.
Well, speaking of game changer, a guy that changed the game.